serie om frivillighet og medmenneskelighet under flyktningkrisen. Serien består av 5 deler og laget av Truls Strand Offerdal for Radio Rakel, FM 99,3 i Oslo. I denne 5. og siste episoden av Hjelp flyktningene skal vi høre fra mennesker som da og nå jobber som frivillig i Berlin. Mange i Norge husker Angela Merkels mantra om at dette skal vi klare, som et inspirerende eksempel på et europeisk land som var villig til å gjøre sin innsats for flyktningene. Som du skal få høre, var det ikke slik at denne ideen gjorde at landets asylvesen på magisk vis var i stand til å unnslippe alle de problemene andre europeiske land hadde under flyktningkrisen. I Berlin har jeg snakket med 3 frivillige fra organisasjonen Moabit Hilft om den kaotiske situasjonen utenfor kontoret hvor nyankomne flyktninger måtte registrere seg. Jeg spurte Christiane Beckmann, bestyrer for organisasjonen, om hvordan den hadde kommet til, og om hvordan arbeidet under flyktningkrisen så ut.
How did we start? We started in 2013. It was Diana Henniges. She is the founder of our organization. By that time, it was just neighborhood organization, support each other. Then a camp opened up nearby her place, and she called out for clothing. Then we got more and more focused on refugees and not just supporting in the neighborhood. And in 2015, on the 6th of August 2015, Diana made a Facebook post. More or less everything we did was through social media. That please people come. We have 1,500 people here sitting outside in 40 Celsius. There was no water supply. There was no food. There was no medical care. There was not one diaper, no soap, nothing. People just arrived here. And they had to come here in this area for the first registration. By that time in the group Moabit Hilft, there have been maybe 300-400 people. Now we are up to 15,000. And people from Berlin just came. They filled up their cars and brought stuff. And the situation here was that is the place, or it used to be the place where the people had to get the first registration. It's not applying for asylum, just that they are not illegal immigrants anymore. The procedure here was you arrive, you have to wait that you get a number, then you have to wait till they call the number, then you go inside in this one building, they take fingerprint, take picture, and a short story about how did you get here, blah blah. Then they went outside, they had to wait for the number again, then they went to another building, and there they got then the first it was a green paper by that time for a low health insurance, the first pocket money, an adult, 135 euro a month, 85 for a child, and shelter if they are lucky. Mm-hmm. And this is what I explained in two minutes, took 4 to 6 weeks. We had bribery here, that security sold numbers, fake numbers, real numbers. Sexual harassment, you give me your phone number and I give you a number, you have sex with me and I give you a number, I get you inside. We have bribery that one person of a family, 500 euro and I get your papers done. We had everything on this area.
Yeah.
And so since we've been here, we didn't plan being here. Mm. I'm still here. Almost 3 years now. For a couple of weeks, we brought food and all that stuff on the field 5 times a day, all with volunteers. We occupied a tent. There have been 2 crooked tents on this field. We occupied one of those tents and made a medic point out of it with volunteer doctors, nurses, midwives. And for months, we paid for the medicine just from donations. Because we are totally independent by government or any funds.
Were there many other organizations, or was Moabit Hilft the main actor in?
No, it was
in this registration place.
You can't look at it so structured. It was more or less we are Moabit Hilft. We called out, and then everything started. More or less from here. Not because of us. It started because of the situation. We opened our house at 8 o'clock in the morning. We closed it between 6 and 7. Then we went in front to make sure that everybody gets shelter. We had nights. The senator called us and said, I'm sorry, I don't have shelter for 200 people. Is it possible you find shelter for them? Mm-hmm.
What we sort of places did you...
Like, that people can sleep somewhere overnight. Because the office here was open from 8 till 4 or 5. And Sunday and Saturday closed. Regular office hours. I'm not saying that there are not people in this building. They work their butts off. And but they didn't do it like they did it in Bavaria, 24/7. Because if people escape, they also arrive after working hour and they arrive on the weekends. So we had to make sure that nobody's sleeping outside, especially not families with children.
Yeah, but how did you solve this?
We had lists with private people. They called and said, okay, if you have a family, 4 people can sleep in my living room. So then we've been outside, see family with 6 people, calling them, yeah, we have a family here. Yes, okay, send them. Yeah, but they are not 4, they are 6. It doesn't matter, send them. So that they had at least a place to sleep at night. And from the beginning, we said, this is not our job. This is governmental stuff. This is not volunteer work. So a lot started from here. When they opened up a sports hall at night at 10 o'clock, and we had hundreds of people standing outside waiting for a bus that they bring them somewhere that they have a shelter. They have been totally exhausted. And they had a sports hall, but they didn't have people which bring up the bed or bringing bed sheets or food for the morning or whatever. So it started from here. If the sports hall was, for example, in Lichtenberg, if we had volunteers from Lichtenberg, they went there and they stood there. Then a night shift started. We didn't have to do this. There was the night shift. They came 9 o'clock at night and they stood till 4 o'clock in the morning. They made sure. So then there was this group giving out food on the weekends in the park in front. Then there was this group, they brought tea. So it was that everything more or less started from here, from the Lageso, but not because of us, because of the situation. And it is not because it's about the people.
How well was the cooperation between the official reception and the volunteer?
Not good, because the problem, I mean, we've been from the beginning very close, but this was more or less because we fought for it. And we are very much realistic about what is possible to do and what not. But if I say I make a camp or I take a sports hall, I don't put for 200 people just 2 showers or 4 showers because it's too expensive. I'm sorry, but human rights cost money. This is the basic of our life, the human rights. And we cannot let children sleep outside because we have children's rights and we have to protect children. This is in our law. And there is no different law for refugees. But our government always found ways to go around those laws or put it on a long term. So this is what we always go for.
To ensure that the laws are followed, you mean?
This is more or less, yes. This is also why we say we are not a help organization. We are a political organization. I have to help in first step, but I have to salute. It makes no sense if somebody comes and says, I'm hungry, I have to ask why. And then I find out the story, and then I have to do something. I have to write to the job center, to the higher, to the next level, what's the solution. Or I have to write the senator. We are in communication with the senator. And because this has to be saluted, it has to be saluted. We have laws. Sorry. You have to find a way to fulfill the laws. Hmm. Just because it's raining, I cannot say I couldn't wait so long on the red light. We have a red light. If you don't have an umbrella, find you an umbrella or get wet. But the light is red.
I was wondering a bit about if you had any idea of the motivation of people who came to volunteer during the
different
crisis.
It's totally different. In 2015, 2016, it was that it didn't matter which party you came from. Not talking about AfD. It was humanitarian work, because we all knew these people need help. And Morbid Hilft, we are, I would say 70% of us, used to be refugees themselves. We didn't plan to be here. I didn't plan to give up my job for this. Or Diana or Ronja, it just happened because of the situation. And we wouldn't be like we are today if we would plan. It just happened. And that people joined us. They started joining while they've been sitting on the field, because the cousin was there, he was checking, so they wanted to do something. They wanted to help others. And still the same today. So this is why we have the language, we have all kind of people from every country, with hijab, without hijab, Muslim, Christ, so everybody's here. And this is how we get the connection. We give out clothes here, but the clothes are just the catalyst to get a grip on the people, because a lot of them don't know where to go to.
Til sist spurte jeg Christiane om hennes refleksjoner rundt flyktningkrisen, om den enorme frivillige innsatsen som den utløste.
2015 and 2016 showed what power us as citizens have. We don't need politics to do something. It should be vice versa. We should do, and the politicians or the politics have to make us able that we can do this. Because this is what we did 2015, 2016. We just did it. We didn't go for a paper, am I allowed to sell, give tea out here or do this? We just did it. And with the power of the people, because they've been connected for humanitarian, the Berlin government had to do what we want. And I think this is something very, very important, that people know that they can change stuff. No, not one country had a refugee crisis, not one. Not even Germany. We have a little bit more than 1 million people came, and we are a little bit more than 80 million people. And that means you sit in your favorite pub, 80 people, door opens, one person comes inside, and you say, damn, it's getting crowded. Nobody from us has a pizza less, and we are a very rich country. I mean, Europe is very rich. So there is no crisis, also not for Scandinavia. And you cannot talk about, I don't have enough space, especially not in Scandinavia. There's a lot of space and less people. and also not Germany.
Jeg snakket også med Julia og Saman, to frivillige ved Moabit Hilft, om organisasjonens arbeid og om Samans opplevelse som en av flyktningene som kom til Tyskland høsten 2015.
Yeah, it seems like there's, from what I know about it, like there's kind of two parts to it. There's the clothing, so people can donate clothing or all kinds of different things, toys, bicycles. And then I think the idea is to bring people to the place, and then you can see if people need other kinds of help, like maybe... And there's always coffee and biscuits and stuff out, so maybe someone sits down and then... You talk to them and you realize like they need help understanding their phone bill, or they come and ask for a stroller, and then you can tell them that actually you can get a stroller as an asylum seeker from the government. So I think the for people who don't speak German and are in Berlin, the social services and the legal services could be really hard to access. So it's about like putting them in touch with services that they might need, and also with there's a lawyer who works here in the office, right?
So moving back to 2015 a bit, because you arrived in 2015?
Yes, 2015.
Can you describe kind of the situation in Berlin then?
Oh, Katastrophe.
more or lot of flirt and sleeping there outside, waiting there just for documentary, taking some place for sleeping or eating. Maybe more 2,000, 3,000 persons sitting there just waiting just
right,
for one
here
minute.
Outside, yes, yes. Outside, so just outside yeah. this building, yeah.
Just we waiting just for our number, and when we saw this number also, we go inside, we said, my number there, I am that person. No, we don't need you, go outside now. Also with the security, someone took money for Flüchtlingen and he said, I will give you your document now. I don't, you will don't wait more, just give me money. Like this, yes. I slept there also 2 weeks without home or essence, ate money without anything, just with no clothes.
Like
what? Shoe kind of on your clothes? Moabit was also there. I saw some person who gave wet water, ate like
food
for Leute there. And I asked also if I can help him now, maybe with a little bit English and Arabic translating what he needs, what another one needs.
Any like reflections? If there's something I haven't asked about that you would like people to know?
I won't just say it for somebody who think like you are refugees. Yes, I am refugees. But I am here because your country making the world in my country. But I am not like your country to making one catastrophe. I am not a dangerous person. I speak your language. I will make one future for this country and for me also.
Du har hørt femte episode av radioserien Hjelp flyktningene, en serie om frivillighet og medmenneskelighet under flyktningkrisen. Serien har bestått av fem deler og laget av Truls Strand Offerdal for Radio Orakel FM 99,3 i Oslo med støtte fra Medietilsynet. Serien dedikert til Johanna Tedin Kristviks minne.